Welcome to Insight Aviation, helping you to take a look inside the world of captains, aerospace professionals, air traffic controllers, and much more. Learn how they got started, where they are now, and their advice for aspiring aviators. This series is brought to you by Wayman Aviation Academy. Learn to fly with a safe, reliable, professional academy, located between Miami and Fort Lauderdale in sunny South Florida, USA. Enjoy the training and cosmopolitan life with Wayman's 42 aircraft, 6 airline partners, and 2 bases to help you be the captain. Hello and welcome to Insight Aviation, brought to you by Wayman Aviation Academy here in South Florida. We have the special and distinct pleasure of having the airport manager of our home base here at North Perry Airport in Pembroke Pines, Florida, Miss Nina McPherson. Hello, Nina.
Hello. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for joining us. You know, what we do here at Insight Aviation is get aviation professionals from what we hope is the whole spectrum of aviation. And I have to admit, we're very heavy on pilots and captains because that's what we do. We train people how to fly here at Wayman Aviation. So it's always a special treat when we have somebody that's so intimately linked with aviation that kind of gets to give us more perspective on the industry, on the flight environments, right? And so for those people that may not know, in broad terms, what does an airport manager do?
That's a good question. And again, thank you so much for the opportunity to give you a little insight into the airport management world inside the aviation industry. As you said, it's so broad. But an airport manager is responsible for the overall management, safety, and development of the airport. First and foremost, safety and security. An airport manager at a general aviation airport like North Perry Airport wears a lot of hats. So I oversee the day-to-day management as well as the future planning of the airport. I'm responsible for identifying the future needs of the airport, working with aviation planners, identifying projects and infrastructure, how to go forward with that. How long is the lifespan of our pavement, for example? How long is it going to take before we need new markings? And I make sure that those projects go in queue, working with the planners to make sure that we can get some grants to take care of it. And then once those grants are in place, then we make sure that we abide by grant assurances. Sure. So I oversee the maintenance requirements of the airport as well. And that entails everything from mowing the airfield to making sure that your markings are clear, your lights aren't obscured, the signs can be seen. And then we look at runway and taxiway lights, that everything around those are good and visible to pilots, filling in potholes and landscaping. And I oversee the operations of the airport, and that entails making sure that we do daily inspections, that there isn't any debris on the airfield that can be ingested in engines and cause harm, making sure that we respond to emergencies, making sure that we do airfield familiarizations for new agents or firefighters or police, for that matter, that may need it. And that we're communicating with the air traffic control tower regarding any anomalies that may come our way. Prepare the budget and make sure we stay on track of that so that everything kind of falls into place. So you have maintenance and operations and planning and communication and community outreach efforts. Yeah. So it's a vast.
It is. Yeah, that's a lot of hats. That's a lot of hats. And a lot of stuff we can come back and touch on there. But as we always like to know, kind of curious, you know, right from the beginning, I always like to know, how is it that you got interested in aviation and then eventually came to be here? So how did you get interested in aviation?
You know, a lot of people say that they fell into aviation. I literally did fall into aviation. I was 17 years old. And I was skydiving.
Oh, wow.
And I had a total of 6 jumps under my belt. And not now, you know, now as you usually do a tandem jump with an instructor. But back in the day, we went by ourselves with a static line. And wow. So you willingly go and jump out of a Cessna 206, I believe it was. Nice. So at 2,500 feet. And after about 5 seconds, the line, you know, inflates the chute. And it was so peaceful. And it was just breathtaking. And below me was the airport, the jump zone.
Nice.
And I just remember thinking, who takes care of that? It was just an odd thought, you know, hanging in the chute. I knew I was going to get there because the jump master made sure that I was going to be in the right place when I landed. Yeah, and the landings weren't always pretty. But I got down there, and that's really how I fell into it. And I was just asking people, you know, is there a career for this? Do people manage airports? Who's taking care of it? Come to find out, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for that. And so I was able to find a university here in South Florida in Boca Raton. And I was the second woman to enroll.
Wow.
And the first woman to graduate with an aviation management degree from that school.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Yeah. Wow, quite a bit to unpack there. First of all, I've only jumped once. And I loved it. I had to tell my wife after the fact because she would not have said yes. But that's exciting. And at a pretty young age, 6 jumps. That's great.
Yeah.
Is that... I have to admit, I didn't see that coming.
You didn't see that one coming, huh?
I didn't know you were a skydiver. Did you pursue it any further than that, or the 6 jumps were enough for you?
No, the six jumps were good. jumps were good. I didn't actually think I'd get past one, but you've got to do 2 if you do 1. You know what I mean? The first one, you're full of excitement. You don't know what you're doing. The second time, you know what you're doing, and you're still doing it.
That's good. That's a good one. Yeah. So, yeah. And at 17, so was that just like thrill-seeking 17-year-old Nina, or did something push you to go?
No. That was definitely a thrill-seeking Nina that did that.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, that's what 17 is for, right? It's to try different things out. It's a great age for discovery flights, for things just
it
like that.
It certainly is.
Yeah. So, and you found a program in Boca. Is that Lynn University up there?
It is now Lynn.
Okay.
It was the College of Boca Raton when I went.
Ah.
Yeah. And, you know, the university offers courses such as air transportation, aviation law, airport management operations, master planning. And I just found it all very, very interesting. I was intrigued.
That is interesting because, you know, as pilots, we're always talking about the environment. Right. The airspace and the airport environment. And you're right. There's so many things. We're literally inside of your bubble. Right. When we're here at the beginning and the end of every flight. So a lot to hit on there. A common word that came up through your description there was planning, budgeting, thinking ahead. And I like to say that the higher you go up an organization, the farther out you have to plan. Right. So I often use the example of the grocery store. Right. The cashier or the bagger just has to show up for their shift that day, right? Yeah. But, you know, the supervisor of them has to think, do I have enough people for the day? The supervisor of that person says, do I need to hire more staff? Eventually the store or manager is thinking ahead, like, you know, what, you know, purchasing and all those kind of things. So clearly you're the airport manager. You've got to kind of plan it all, right?
Yes. Yep, you nailed it, especially at a general aviation airport where you have to have the you're underneath the whole umbrella. Mm-hmm. Whereas a larger airport, you might have more of a expertise in one area, mm-hmm. in either finance or IT or customer service or operations. But at a general aviation airport, you get to do it all.
Yeah, and I like the way you said it. You get to do it all.
You really do.
You have to do it all. You get to do it all. Now, that's a good point. So North Perry Airport, one of the busiest general aviation airports in the country, is also a part of the Broward County Aviation
Department.
Sorry, mm-hmm. escape me for a moment there, right? So how much is supported by this larger one, which controls Florida International, a very large airport, right? And how much is, you know, you and your team?
So the team that I work with, there's 10 of us here at the airport, and we take care of operations and maintenance and planning and the every day-to-day management of the airport. And when things are needed, like carpentry or electricians or something that we don't necessarily have on staff, then we would issue work orders and ask for that help from from the larger department, because we're all under one umbrella under the aviation department.
Okay. So that's nice. You have that intimate kind of small team feeling, but you have this large resource pool you can pull from, you know, for good or bad, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, that's great. So kind of sticking with the education bit, because that's a big part of what we do. We want aspiring aviators or people that are interested in aviation to think, well, how can I come into this career? So you sought out a program near you at Lynn, which I guess was it airport management or was it airport operations?
Yes. So my program in particular that I did, you know, was a Bachelor of Science in Aviation Management. But, you know, you often ask the question, what education is needed to get into my seat, right, into my role. And different airports have different criteria. And that's because different airports are associated with several different ownerships. Some airports like this one, like North Perry and Fort Lauderdale, for example, is under the Broward County Aviation Department. So it's a county airport. Okay. Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport is a city airport. Mm. The Boca Raton Airport is an airport authority. And then we have state airports and we have private airports and then we have joint public ventures.
Wow.
So depending on, and there are pros and cons to all of those, but depending on what kind of airport you are, what the hiring process is, what they're looking for might differ, but you can come to the table with an aviation management degree, a bachelor's in aviation. You can do air transportation. Let's see what else we have. We have aviation law degrees, aeronautical science degrees, and there are many out there that will complement your path.
Sure.
Business and public relations often complement it. Mm-hmm. Because back in the day, airport managers were actually retired military people.
Really?
or people who had worked on air bases.
Hmm.
And with time, that changed. It became a profession and professionals and a group of industries and industry leaders. So we have, for example, the American Association of Airport Executives.
Okay.
That is a national organization with thousands of members. We have Airport Council International representing the global market. And we have Florida Airport Council representing the Florida airports. And within all of those are opportunities for internships and scholarships.
Great.
For students who might want to go this route and opportunities to volunteer and maybe attend conferences to start networking early.
Now, if I understand correctly, you've been pretty prominent in those groups, right? I think you were the chairwoman recently.
Yes, I have. I had the distinction of being Madam Chair of the Florida Airport Council. I spent 10 years on the Florida Airport Council and am now an immediate past chair. So in that role, you know, we work on legislation for the state on aviation use taxes, on things that are good for airports and bringing that up to Tallahassee and fighting on behalf of all the airports, general aviation, or commercial, cargo, and so forth.
Well,
so when you're applying for that airport, know that there's just so many things that are available to you and that to complement any degree that you might have, you can get accredited. You can go through an accreditation process. And a lot of airports look for having a accreditation either as preferred or as mandatory. And that takes a process as well.
I'm sure. Well, it's quite a compliment to be the chairwoman amongst your peers, you know, looking to help the common good and legislation, asking for what not just your airport needs, but everyone's coming together saying, hey, we need this, right? And so it's good to be that vocal point. That's really exciting. Congratulations.
Well, thank you for that. You know, the committees make the organization, right? So just like there are many avenues within aviation, organization, you can get, and I'm talking about involvement now, you can get involved by doing an operation or your IT or administration or legal or you know, legislation. So there's just a lot of opportunities.
You know, I've heard that so many times because there's a lot of organizations in aviation for just about every niche you can think of. Mm-hmm. And what I've often been told is don't just pay your dues. Don't pay your $10 or $20. Sign up for a committee, whatever it might be, whatever interests you, right? Because actually being active in an organization is where you meet those connections, that person that might be your next reference or boss or vendor or whatever it might be. So that's excellent to get involved, right? But I imagine you didn't just graduate and become an airport manager. There's a professional path. You got to work your way up the rungs, right? So what does somebody that comes out with, or in your case, with an aviation management degree, what's that first job?
Well, I didn't know what my role was going to be until I got here, quite frankly, because I started very different, right? I started with getting a degree in commercial and trade. And then I went to Switzerland and I got a degree in hotel and restaurant management.
Oh, wow.
And then between all this, you know, was the reversal of, no, I want to see what aviation is. I want to know who runs the airport. I want to find that right school. Huh. So when I did that, I started as a part-time position at an airport where there was a retired lieutenant colonel who was the manager.
Sure.
Right? And he taught me that whatever you look like when you show up for work that day, you are showing up to do the work of the day. Mm-hmm. Very important lesson. So there were days when I was in high heels and a skirt because I was administration, not knowing the vast opportunities that were going to, you know, become ahead of me here.
Yeah.
I climbed a 52-foot beacon to grease it.
Wow.
High heels and a skirt, because that's how I was dressed that day. And that's the work that needed to be done that day.
Sure.
And so we picked up debris from the runway.
Wow.
I've adjusted VASI lights, and then as you do all these things that are not in your little path,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're broadening your avenue here.
Sure.
You're learning that, oh my God, there are people who can do that. That needs to be done. Why does that need to be done? Oh, I want to do that. I can do that.
That's interesting. That's a good point because, like you said, there's so many hats. And now that I think about it, I think, you know, North Perry is a pretty busy airport. A staff of 10 is a good size. But I've been to plenty of airports where there might not even be somebody on staff. There's a phone number when you walk into the office that says, if you need something, call this number. Right? I was at one just sort of a few weeks ago in Ohio, Put-in Bay. And it's little islands. And it seems like every island has a strip, right? And somebody's in charge of that airport. But you got to wear even more hats then, because there may not be that, you know, second person. You are the maintenance.
You're absolutely right. Up in Vermont, I think there are airports where the airport manager will go on horseback to do the inspection, you know.
Wow.
There are places here in Florida, around Immokalee, I believe, where the airport manager will jump on the mower to mow the airfield themselves.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. I guess we get a little bit spoiled being here in such a metropolitan area, Miami, South Florida, Fort Lauderdale, where there's a large population density. But there's an airport in every county and, you know, in many, many, most towns, I'd say. You know, I was told, and you probably would know this number better than I would, but I was told there's 93 airports. I don't know what the determination was. In Florida, 93 airports, I think, with instrument approaches. Right?
There's 126 airports in Florida, actually.
Oh, 126.
Yeah.
Right? And I imagine those are public, not the little private strips, because those seem to be everywhere.
That's including everything. That's private and public, general aviation and commercial.
Okay, 126. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. And that's really the way to get in and out of just about everywhere in the country, especially when you get out into more rural areas, right? So you came in and you had that. What was that airport that you started at?
Boca Raton Airport.
Oh, that was Boca.
Yeah.
Excellent. So you kind of were, was that like an assistant role, assistant to the airport manager, and just kind of learning everything?
You know, that would be really nice if your career starts like that and with a fancy title and a role. No, it didn't start like that. I got my bachelor's degree. And I walked in because I knew that this lieutenant colonel needed some help.
Great.
And I sat down and he looked at me and he said, I know what you want. I said, you do? This is awesome, right? He goes, yeah, you want an assistant airport manager job. I said, that would be awesome. He said, I don't have that job. You don't? He goes, nope, I've got a part-time secretarial position, but I'm going to teach you everything you need to know. And if I were you, I'd take it.
Yeah.
I said, that sounds good to me. He goes, I'll see you Monday morning.
Nice.
And that's how I started.
That's quite the interview process. Nice.
Yeah.
And how long were you at Boca? Boca's a beautiful airport. It's grown up quite a bit.
Yes, it has. It is a beautiful airport. And, you know, if you learn how to fly at Boca, you can fly anywhere with that crosswind.
That's true.
Single-use runway, yeah.
Angular runway right along the highway.
523, yeah. So I was there 12 years, actually.
12 years?
And then I came to Fort Lauderdale International Airport, where I spent 1 year at that airport in operations. Mm-hmm. And then I've been here at North Perry Airport since.
Excellent. So at Boca, being kind of a small operation, it sounds like, did you keep that role or did you eventually get to a different role at Boca?
Yeah, that didn't last so long. That only lasted a few months. And then he had me on full time. And then that became an administrative assistant role. And that morphed into a deputy airport manager role. And we were hiring ops people. And, you know, what was fun was I was along the ride to build the team that needed to be there.
Excellent.
You know, for the success of the airport.
Yeah. Kind of, I mean, it's an older airport, but you're basically on the ground floor of modernizing it, is what it sounds like. Yeah.
Absolutely. There was no tower when I was there, but we put all the pieces in place to get the tower that's there now. So that was fun to be a part of.
Yeah. Well, that's an amazing educational experience. You're basically there while an airport is being developed, right?
Right.
Which is actually one of the things you mentioned, that the airport manager is also not just planning for the maintenance, but for the development of the airport, right?
Yeah, very important.
Yeah, ideally,
very important.
Ideally, you're in an airport and an area that's growing, right? There's a very famous quote. I always forget. I want to say that it's last I heard, it was attributed to, blanked out of my head right now, one of our former presidents, maybe Johnson, who said that look to your local airport. If it's growing, your town is growing. If your local airport is shrinking, your town might be shrinking.
That's very apropos. I mean, we are reliever airports to take the congestion, you know, out of the larger airports. Mm-hmm. This is where it all begins. You know, this is where all the fun begins. As with Wayman and the flight school student, I too have 72 hours in a 172. I bet you didn't know that.
Very nice.
Yeah, because when I was in Boca Raton, part of my job as the job grew was being a noise officer, and these pilots that were flying the Gulf Streams. We're coming in, and I would get a noise complaint, and I'd have to go down and talk to them and just ask them, you know, what was the traffic pattern? What, because I'm trying to find out what caused the complaint, right? This was back in the day before ANOMS and all that good stuff. So they didn't take so kindly to that, to me running down there and interrupting their, you know, their business flow and their passengers and all this kind of stuff. And so I had at the time a really good boss. This was my second boss. Mm-hmm. Who said, you know, we need to make you more credible. We need to put you in that airplane. And so he made sure that I did the written, and then I actually did my solos.
Great.
Yep. Did cross country.
Nice.
You know, but at the end of the day, I wanted to be on the ground. I wanted to make sure that everything was going to be safe and in order and the way it was supposed to be to develop the airport for the rest of you that want to fly and come in and out.
Well, it brings you here. That's great. It's wonderful to have that experience. And I often say, you know, the more variety of experience you can have, the better. You know, my father calls it tools in your tool belt, right? Like you might, you know, you can afford someone to change your oil, but you should try it at least once, right? So you know what's going on. And I think the same thing with flying. Like if you have an opportunity to get into a helicopter or a glider or whatnot, I think it's worth taking that experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree.
So, all right. So you're for Lauderdale International for a year. I imagine it sounds like they're probably just kind of getting you familiar with what their operations are like, meeting the team and everyone.
And also, you know, that's a Part 139 airport, which is very different from a general aviation airport. Mm-hmm. So Part 139 airport, you know, has regulations that they have to follow as well. And that comes with having passengers, right?
Yeah.
And so you're dealing with a whole different array of things. And I had never been at a large airport like that. And I didn't, you know, it was just a great learning experience for me. So, and a great stepping stone.
That's so interesting. You know, we, of course there's regulations about airports. It hadn't occurred to me, right? Because, you know, we focus on the chapters that are relevant to us, right? So I know the Part 61, the 91, the 135, I'm familiar with 121 even, but I hadn't thought about all those regulations that go around airports. And it's got to be quite a bit, because it's not just the flying regulations, but it's probably also like county codes and building and all that kind of stuff that goes along with it.
Yeah, it all comes into play. You know, there are certain requirements that the airport has to abide by. For example, you know, the index, how big is the airport? How many airlines does it take? What does the fire rescue need to look like for that? You know, how many units do we have to have? You know, how is the tower operating? Are you passing everything with lights and instrument navigations? You know, everything is clear. Your slopes around the airport. It kind of looks like an upside down wedding cake, you can say, much as the charts when you're flying. But sure, we have to make sure that the slopes that go off the ends of the airport, the runways and the approaches are free and clear. Right. And even for that matter, on the surface, the runway safety areas have to be free and clear, just in case we get that student that rolls off.
Sure.
And needs to turn back and get back on.
So your responsibility really extends beyond the fence, because you've got to have that vertical clearance kind of around your airport. And so it's a lot of community involvement, which you mentioned early on, right? It's working with local towns, officials, citizens, right? I'm sure there's pros and cons to that as well. And we don't have to get into any specifics. But, you know, so North Perry is located in the middle of three towns. Right, so that must be triple your work. Instead of just being inside of one airport, now you've got to be dialoguing with the town to our south, the town to the east, and the town above us. Gosh, that just sounds to me like a lot of commissioner meetings.
Well, you know, sometimes it is, but we're nestled in between three, you know, cities, a county airport, like a little island. And we're just doing the best we can to, you know, if there's community outreach that's needed, if I'm invited to speak at a town hall meeting or at a city meeting, then I make myself available for that. We have had a couple of airport day events in the past few years. You've had your own successful event not so long ago. And, you know, and bringing people in from those surrounding communities is really important to see what we do. Your podcasts are important to see all the different things you can do, and to bring it all closer. You know, that dream, that looking at that airplane in the sky and wondering, could I do that? And what does it take? You know, just to open our doors and let people come in.
Absolutely, the community outreach is so important, because in the end, you know, you're working for the county, so you're serving the community. Right? You're kind of an employee of all of our neighbors. So that means, and I think that's an important one. We've had kind of conversations about this. I'm involved with the community organization here for the airport, and how important it is that when people look up at those airplanes, they see opportunity and an economic engine and not a noise complaint, right? Or a safety issue. And that's probably a lot of phone calls and a lot of outreach.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and I do take that opportunity, and I do take it seriously. When all airport managers really do, you know, when someone has a complaint or concern about an operation or noise, or we take that opportunity to then educate and to find out what happened and if there was something, you know, that we can help with. So it's really a balancing act.
It is. You've got to address concerns, right? And, you know, kind of make them relative. Like, people are not buzzing your particular house here. It just so happens that you're within this area. But that's another conversation. Let's talk a little bit about North Perry. You know, for everyone that's listening or watching us, North Perry Airport is, like you said, a reliever airport, a general aviation airport, here basically between between Miami-Dade and Broward, right? Pretty close to the county line. It's grown, dramatically over the last 10 years, right, as general aviation clearly got pushed out of the big international airports, right? And even our regional airports, Falardo Executive and Opa-locka Executive, have become just that, more executive. They're more jet ports at this point. And so there's all of those Cessnas and Pipers and Moonies and such have been pushed out of those airports. And they found a home right here at North Perry, right? We're kind of an island of GA here in South Florida. You kind of have to go to the extremes otherwise. You've got to go down to Tamiami and Kendall. You've got to go up to Boca, really, right? And I imagine you've been in charge of the airport throughout that whole climb, right?
Yeah, the operation count has certainly changed since I started. But, you know, the footprint of the airport hasn't.
No.
The length of the runways haven't.
Right.
So the good thing is that we are an economic engine. Mm-hmm. You know, we are, as most airports are, they have an economic impact in the communities around them.
Absolutely.
So it's North Perry Airport, in my particular situation, I consider grassroots. This is where it all begins. This is where your dreams come to life. You know, this is where, like, it really happens. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, operation counts are different. They're higher now than they were when I started, for sure. But again, the footprint hasn't changed. And the businesses that are accommodated here have done so very well, you know, and braided into the community and to us. Hmm. And so I'm very proud of this airport.
Oh, as are we, and we're very happy to be here. You know, I think back to a conversation I had with my brother, who's also a pilot. You've known him for a long time. And he was telling me that back in maybe like around 2000, right, we were looking at possibilities, and then North Perry was very full of home-built aircraft, EAA kind of experimentals, and things like that. And I've seen those decrease, right, as schools, which are required to fly certified aircraft, have increased. Have you seen that? Have you seen the population kind of change from this home-built hobbyist to more of a school or professional environment?
You know, yes, there has been, as the newer businesses, or maybe the newer development that's taken place, you know, has, I would say, maybe up the level. But you have to have a tail number to operate here. You have to have a transponder. So you can't have an ultralight here. You never could.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah,
I remember there used to be a gyrocopter that flew in and out of here. I'm like, oh my gosh, a gyrocopter. I don't see them anymore. I don't know if he
would. I don't know.
Yeah. But no, I think that's kind of an interesting point, because as the schools have come in, I heard you say that there was maybe 10 schools now at North Perry. And that's official schools, right? Not necessarily the independent instructor that's, you know, part of a club or something like that. But that's a lot of schools, right? That's a hub for training, basically. And it makes sense, because South Florida is such a hub for aviation internationally, right? It's a huge hub for aviation with Miami International and Falardo International. I've heard it said many times that one in four jobs in Miami-Dade is tied to aviation, right? And so if we want our youth here to get good, well-paying jobs in South Florida, right, one of those is that flying route. So it's kind of amazing. It's almost like having, I want to say like a college campus, but it's like a college campus that has many colleges within it. Right.
Yeah. Well, and I look at it as a little bit bigger than that, because I look at it as an aviation industry. So even if you don't get in the cockpit and mm-hmm. take off, you know, you can do the line service portion. You can be an aviation mechanic. You can, mm-hmm. you know, you can run an FBO.
Yeah.
You know, there's the opportunities are endless.
Absolutely. Right. Three FBOs here at North Perry. And, of course, we have our neighbors, Emilia on the north side, Broward College's South Campus, which has a wonderful aviation program. The name escapes me right now. They changed the name recently. They have a new benefactor. But they have a wonderful aviation program, which, aside from their pilot degrees, offers air traffic control and aviation management. And I believe, actually, one of our airport administrators teaches there. Is that right?
Yeah, if not more than one, I believe so. So that's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's great. When people that are actually doing the job can sit down with students and impart their knowledge, that's huge. And having
Yeah, it's all about giving back, right?
Absolutely. It is all about giving back. And so that's one of those interesting things, because here at the school, you go from individuals with a tee hanger or maybe just a tie down, and they have their playing that they take up on Sundays, to the flying clubs, to the small flight schools, which there's many of, to the flight academies like we are, with a larger footprint and a fleet, all the way through something like the college level, which is Broward College, right? So you have the full range of training and opportunities that they have, because all these operators, right, need people that understand aviation management. They need maintenance professionals, which is a huge industry-wide shortage of maintenance professionals. So Broward College's AMP program, and now avionics program also, there's a huge shortage of, they generate a lot of people, and we hire a lot of those, because it's amazing to have that kind of training happening right down the street, literally, like right over there. So
no, it truly is. And when you look at the state of the industry and what we've just been through, you know, there is a shortage of pilots just because of deals that were made, you know, furloughs, early retirements, buyout packages of already an industry that we knew we're going to need new pilots coming up the pike. Mm-hmm. But then you take that and you look at people actually don't want to necessarily be on an airline with unruly passengers or rude passengers. There's a little bit of a shift. Whereas, for example, Naples Airport or Fort Lauderdale Executive Airport that had a higher per capita individuals owning jets and flying them. Now you're seeing that people are doing the market share, right? The biz jets or buying into memberships. And so they're going to do a one-time fee to belong to a club where they can go and rent maybe a King Air at a much lower rate and not have to deal with airlines and whatever's going on in that industry. So
yeah, there's a lot of changes happening throughout the industry, right? And, you know, not that far around the corner, we're going to be sharing a lot of our airspace with unmanned vehicles. You know, I have my UAS license. Any pilots out there, highly recommend you take the quiz and get your UAS license. Is that something that is part of the conversation at your level? Or I mean, you're planning ahead, I'm sure, not just like next year, but, you know, 5-10 years ahead. Is there any conversation about that?
Not yet.
Not yet.
We are being educated about it ourselves. You know, what's that going to look like? Where is it going to look? Mm-hmm. How are we going to do that safely? Because, you know, the airport I manage happens to be nestled into quite a bit of airspace, right? Mm-hmm. Overlapping airspace.
Right. And changing airspace. I believe we have a big airspace change coming as soon as next year, which...
With the Metroplex?
Metroplex.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of funny because you hear about these things years ahead. Like, oh, this is happening. Like, oh, that's interesting. And the next thing you know, like, no, it's happening like now.
It's happening. Yeah, it's happening.
Yeah. No, I had the opportunity to talk to a traffic controller about that recently. But hey, as we're coming to the end of our hour, I'm just kind of curious to know... what advice you might have for somebody that's kind of curious about aviation management and airport operations?
Like I said, you know, to volunteer, to get involved. I think that don't limit yourself, you know, that's okay to pick up the phone and call somebody, you know, or go visit or tour.
Well, that's something that new generation is not good at, is picking up the phone and calling somebody. But yes, scheduling a visit, a tour. Yeah,
exactly. And you know, reach out, look at these aviation industries that are also available to help you educate yourself about the different possibilities. So go on the AAAE website, go on the FAC.org website. You know, what is it she talked about? What is it we could do? There's a scholarship, there's an internship opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know, don't, you know, like I said, I fell into it. I didn't have anybody who was in aviation in my family. I didn't have any pilots. So it was actually quite unique. Some people are, you know, really just bitten by the bug early on and just love everything to do with airplanes, you know, and I didn't know that I was going to be so infatuated and so passionate, so committed to this industry. I don't regret a single day. No day is like the other. There is no cookie cutter day. You just never know what's going to come your way, and that's the way I like it.
That's really nice. That's excellent. And, you know, as I think about it, there's a lot of people that kind of get enamored with the idea of being a pilot. You know, they take that discovery flight and they start flying. And for whatever reason, they realize it's not for them. You know, maybe it's medical, maybe it's other things. I've got people who are wonderful, but they never get over the motion. You know, they get that motion sickness, dizziness. And I often say that for every pilot, there's 50 jobs in support, right? Traffic control, management, operations, airline and FBO owners and managers. Aviation is so much bigger than a hat and stripes, right? And very well paying. You know, working for the FAA and kind of can often be very rewarding with great benefits. So if that is you, if you're interested in aviation, then maybe that pilot path is not for you. You know, don't despair. There is lots of opportunities and lots of careers. 1 in 4 jobs here in South Florida tied to aviation.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, and I thank you for having these podcasts and bringing it out to everybody. Well done.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Nina. Thank you for joining us today, for carving out the time of your busy schedule. Thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you. My pleasure. We'll see you soon.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. You know, follow us, like and subscribe on podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcast, on YouTube. You can find us just about everywhere, Insight Aviation or at Wayman Aviation. Thank you and have a great flight. This series is brought to you by Wayman Aviation Academy. Learn to fly with a safe, reliable, professional academy located between Miami and Fort Lauderdale in sunny South Florida, USA. Enjoy the training and cosmopolitan life with Wayman's 42 aircraft, 6 airline partners, and 2 bases to help you be the captain.